Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a terrific day, as you always should be. And welcome to the show again, another live version, another audio and visual version, as we're doing this every day, continually changing things and updating stuff. We've got a lot more stuff in the works right now. We've kind of been changing some stuff around. And so, again, thank you for the support of Health Masters. If you need anything, be sure to give us a call or email us at healthmasters.com. We're here to help you out the best we possibly can. And if you really want to get a hold of us very quickly, contact us on Instagram at team_healthmasters. I've been telling you guys that. A lot of you have been doing it. That's a very quick, very efficient way for you to get a hold of us to get any nutrition updates and also different sales that we have on sale right there at Health Masters. So be sure to follow, like, comment, and of course, leave a review on a product. If you do that, we'll go ahead and send you guys a coupon code for whatever you want on the website, one-time code at team_healthmasters. So thank you for getting that out there and supporting the team so we can continue to get the truth out there on a regular basis. And if you guys saw, there's going to be updates on the product of the week, the Testo Plus formula, which has been on sale for the last week. That'll be changing currently right now, probably the next hour if I'm off for the show. The GHI Cleanse, we talked about it multiple times on this show all the time. And this is one of the most effective products at detoxifying the liver, aiding the kidneys, helping out with inflammation in the body. Turmeric, one of the key ingredients that's in that formula, along with a whole host of other things, including watercress, N-acetylcysteine, ginger, green tea extract, lemon bioflavonoids, everything. This product has it all. We've talked about it before. If it's something you're recovering from, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, it works good as far as detoxifying the liver. Also works good if you do consume alcohol and you want to keep your liver at top-tier shape or reduce inflammation, works fantastically well. Also works as one of the best I have found personally and numerous other people have found as an incredibly good fasting agent, meaning you can fast simply on this product only as it is complete protein and it is loaded with every single vitamin, nutrient, mineral, and detoxifying property to help your body out. A lot of times people run 2 scoops, 2 to 3 times per day, depending on your caloric needs while you're doing a fast, depending on what your goals are, overall goals and detoxifying needs, anywhere from a 2-day to a 3-day fast, all the way to a 7-day fast with some people. So be sure to check it on the website. It'll be on sale for over 12% off at healthmasters.com. And I'll go into some more other aspects of this product later on during the show. But again, there's been a lot of chatter, and I was talking about it earlier with Dad, around this whole thing that's happened with the Port of Baltimore now. I know a lot of news stations are covering it, saying that everything is just was a complete accident. Again, I don't know. I wasn't there. I know we're hearing now that essentially the captain dropped all the anchors. They called in Mayday. Very strangely enough, though, the one pylon that they happened to hit, the support structure on that bridge was the main support structure, hence why it collapsed. Some people are saying that they look like there were charges detonated when it collapsed. I don't know. I wasn't there. Again, there's also a massive amount of electrical wires and conduit that are running across that bridge. There's a lot of lighting. It's a very, very big bridge. It's an older bridge, so I don't know how exposed some of the conduit and the electrical systems were on it. I do know this is going to cause an enormous amount of delays. As they've said, all of the hazardous materials, flammable materials that they cannot run through any of the tunnels, they run across this bridge. It is the number one bridge for that. So now there's a whole lot of interesting factors that are falling in place as far as logistics. And I do know, as I told you guys yesterday, one of the biggest, if not the biggest port in the United States for importation of farm and agricultural equipment from Europe, along with light trucks and cars. It was interesting, too, another strange part about that whole situation that I was reading this morning, and I was kind of going into detail, doing some more research on it, and it was talking about how not only is the biggest port for cars and as far as construction and farm equipment, it also said this same ship was involved in an incident in Belgium in 2016, where it essentially was exiting the North Sea container terminal and the propulsion auxiliary machinery failed, according to the data, and essentially hit another port over there. So is this just a really just a lemon of a ship? I mean, this is the second time this is a huge disaster has been involved in. Was this some type of sabotage on the boat? Did the captain and everybody not know what was going on and simply power is being cut intermittently? Was it an accident? Was this thing intentional? It is very strange. A lot of the factors that are surrounding this, you make your own determination on it. I'm not telling you what happened because I wasn't there, but there's some very strange things that are occurring, especially the timelines that we're seeing with this and kind of the ominous fact that it was the Francis Scott Key Bridge, you know, with everything that arose with the Star Spangled Banner and everything else that occurred with that. And now kind of collapsing that bridge, is that kind of an ominous aspect of you know, collapsing the United States.
It could be a targeted aspect. I mean, the crazy part about all of this stuff is that, you know, we're hearing more and more sources coming out talking about the different parts of the bridge, et cetera, that were affected. Also, when you look at the bridge and go real slow on the video of the bridge, there are arcs that occur at the same time when the ship hits. It looks like a flash, almost like an explosion went off. You know, I mean, are we talking thermite usage again? Or is it because power lines are being...
Could have been power relays, yeah.
Because power relays have arced the same way.
Oh, yeah.
But nobody's addressing that issue where the arcs are coming from. Of course, it'll probably just say, oh, they're the power relays. But you can see where the flashes go, all the strategic points where the pressure is on the bridge. So I thought, well, that's kind of odd, but you can't say it's really an explosive at this point because it could have been a power line. Because I've watched a transformer blow one time, Austin, here in Auburndale, and I was all the way to Interstate 4. I was 4 miles away, and I saw one blow.
Oh, it looks like a bomb goes off.
It looked like the whole light, it turned a bright blue light went off, and it looked like a bomb had gone off. So could it be relay pack? Because, you know, there were giant lights up on there, too. There were a lot of electrical wires through there, so I don't know what it is. But Laura Logan says it this way. She goes, multiple intel sources saying the Baltimore Bridge collapse was an absolutely brilliant strategic attack on a U.S. critical infrastructure, most likely cyber, and our intel agencies know it. In information warfare terms, they just divided the U.S. along the Mason-Dixon line, exactly like the Civil War. Second busiest strategic roadway in the nation for hazardous material, now down for 4 to 5 years, which is how long they will need to recover. The bridge was built specifically to move hazardous material, fuel, diesel, propane gas, nitrogen, highly flammable materials, chemicals, and oversized cargo that cannot fit through the tunnels. Supply chain now crippled. Make no mistake, this was an extraordinary attack in terms of planning, timing, and execution. Two critical components on that bridge are the two load-bearing pylons on each end closest to the shore. They are bigger, thicker, and deeper than anything else. These are the anchor points, and they knew that hitting either one of them would be a fatal wound to the integrity of the bridge. Half of a mile of the bridge went into the river. Likely now you have to build a new one. Also caused so much damage to the structure integrity of the bottom concrete part you cannot see. They won't know until they take the wreckage apart. She said the attack was perfectly targeted. They have figured out how to bring us down. As long as you stay away from the teeth of the U.S. military, you can pick the U.S. apart. We are arrogant and ignorant, which is a lethal combination. Obama said they would fundamentally change the America, as they did. We are in a free fall, free-fried roller coaster right now. No brakes, just picking up speed. We're like a train out of control. Also, remember that TV made for movies for Netflix that came out with Obama showed ships going off course and losing the ability to steer.
They did in that movie. Mm-hmm,
they did. The footage shows the cargo ship never got in the approach lane in the channel. This is what's so weird. I talked about this yesterday. Why wasn't a pilot on board, and why weren't there tugs on all four corners of that boat? I don't understand that at all, because that having to go under a bridge like that, why weren't they being led through? You'll have to be in the channel before you get to the turn. Location was precise and deliberate. You choose a bend in the river where you have to slow down and commit yourself. Once you're committed in that area, there's not enough room to maneuver. Should have been a harbor pilot to pilot the boat. You're not supposed to transverse any objects without a harbor pilot. In addition to that, the pilot, the captain of that ship was Ukrainian. Isn't that strange? With everything that's going on in Ukraine, most corrupt country in the world pretty much now. They chose a full moon, the maximum tidal shift, rise and fall, brisk flow in that river on a normal day, and have a lot of rain recently as the water is moving along at a good pace. Hit it with enough kinetic energy to knock the load-bearing pylon out from under the highway, which fatally weakens the span, and then 50% of the bridge fell. All of these factors, when you look at it, is kind of, you know, is basically, we have to ask ourselves these questions. Tremendous navigational obstruction, huge logistical nightmare to clean this up. Number of dead is tragic. This kind of bridge constantly under repair, always at night. They were doing a pothole repair that night, by the way. When you choke off Baltimore, you cut off the main north-south hazardous corridor, I-95 and half. Now that everybody has to go around the city or go somewhere else. To move some of the cargo through the tunnel, you may be able to get a permit. And, of course, if they blow one of these tunnels, it's going to be worse. For every $100 that goes into the city, $12 comes from shipping. Now, I'm going to say something about Baltimore. Baltimore's a disaster. I've been up there before. And if you live in Baltimore, I'm sorry that for the loss of life that they just had. I'm sorry this happened to you. But your city's a mess. I mean, it's one of the most dangerous cities I've ever been in. So it's interesting to me they chose this, like you said, Austin, with the Scott Francis Kinski, you know, Star Spangled Banner. They did all that. And what I'm going to say something else, too. Yesterday we talked about P. Diddy. Now, I don't care for P. Diddy. I could care less about P. Diddy. You know, I kind of did it as a satire yesterday. But the reality is that I ended up basically, you know, saying, why is this happening to P. Diddy right now, the same time this bridge is being hit?
You notice there's no media coverage at all about that whole raid with the Homeland Security yesterday with him?
Well, no, the crazy part about it is how much obfuscation do they need. And, you know, all the stuff that's happening in the world right now, why is this happening now? Why is P. Diddy a story? So how many people, though, are linked to P. Diddy, who love P. Diddy, who aren't going to pay any attention to anything but P. Diddy? You know, it's like, I hate to say this, it sounds terrible. You know, it's like Kim Kardashian. Who in the world is she? Why do people care about Kim Kardashian? She's a reality star, if you want to call her a star, and all she wants to do is run around, you know, exposing her buttocks everywhere, and people are all wrapped up in this stupidity of being entertained by these weirdos, but they're not looking at the true cause of these problems, like with this infrastructure collapse now. So I don't know. But then I read the satire. This is satire, and I love this. I'm just, because it's kind of a horrible morning to start the story with. But I'm going to read this to you. Boeing board forces the CEO to resign after evidence surfaces that he is a white male. Okay, satire. Okay. In a bid to further solidify the company's push for diversity, equity, and inclusion in building the worst airplanes on the planet, Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun announced he would be resigning after evidence surfaced that he is a white man. Though airplane malfunctions and emergencies continue to make headlines, the company spokesperson stressed that its staunch commitment to DEI practices was the impetus for Calhoun stepping down after new information revealed his whiteness. This is absolutely a shocking revelation, the spokesperson said. Once it came to the light that he was white, everybody knew he would no longer continue as CEO. Boeing takes great pride in placing adherence to DEI principles above everything else, including safety of the aircraft, even product quality and passenger safety. And when Dave agreed his status as a white guy was unacceptable. An internal investigation found photographs of Calhoun that confirmed he had been a white male his entire life. He is so ashamed of what he is. It's true, Calhoun said. I stand before you today to admit that I'm in fact a white male in total utter shame. This renders me unfit to serve as the CEO of Boeing. I accept this as my offer and my serious apologies. I will do everything I can to correct my whiteness. I am so sorry for who I am. At publishing time, the industry experts predicted the company would fill Calhoun's position with an individual with as much intersectionality as possible, with zero experience in the aerospace industry is necessary, not being a factor at all. Appointing a trans lesbian of color will be a great step forward for our company, the spokesperson said, and we'll be able to continue designing and building airplanes that have the same high-quality control standards that you have today, with airplanes coming apart in mid-flight, doors blowing off, and passenger safety not being a bit of importance whatsoever any longer. We're going to get a trainee in here. We're going to hire more gays and more trannies, regardless of their job description and regardless of their experience. Satire sometimes is very, very truthful. And I'll give the Babylonian Bee credit on this one. I added a few things to it. But the point is, wow. You know, this is how crazy it gets that we have to joke about Boeing board forces a CEO to resign because he's an absolute misogynist, white male swine. Unreal. What do you think, Austin?
That was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous. Can't believe I made it as a news story.
I know. Golly. And by the way, the guys, that was fake news. That was a joke.
That was fake.
Yeah, don't quote us on that. There is some aspect of some validity to this, of what we've seen, where you've got these companies now that are putting, you know, their ability to hire people. This still thinking about that. You know, the one that I always get a kick out of is when they're a transgender lesbian. How does that exactly work?
Well,
not exactly.
Well,
sure.
One of them made headlines today in the Daily Mail. She transitioned to a male, then transitioned back to a female, then transitioned back to going back and
well,
forth.
Well, there was one that I saw. Yeah, it was a man that transitioned to a female that he was also a lesbian. So he was a guy that turned into a girl that liked girls. I don't know why he didn't just stay at the beginning part and just.
Mental disorder, gender dysphoria.
I'm confused.
These people at one time were given medication to try to correct their problems. Now they're just given notoriety. I mean, it blows my mind. Oh, by the way, and since we're doing a show like this today, Arizona girl, 18, has been arrested after killing a married park ranger, father of two Harley Davidsons, as she drove a brand new Corvette Chevrolet worth $140,000, 155 miles an hour down the highway.
It's been a Z06.
Yes, it's a fast car.
That price.
Yeah, the problem is that, you know, when you go around somebody really, really, really fast like that, it really scares them. I don't know if she hit the cop or hit this guy or not on the Harley. I don't know. It doesn't look like it. But apparently she went around him so quick that she startled him or something happened and he's dead now.
Well, the thing about motorcycles too, man, is, I mean, they're so light. I mean, I've ridden street bikes my entire life. I don't have any more. I sold all of them after I had kids. And, you know, you run past a semi-truck pretty fast. You get sucked in the wind on those rockets. I mean, they're light bikes. And the problem is, you know, this girl's 18, so she had no concept of even how to drive moderately decent. And she's in a park or whatever.
You're going to get letters for that one.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm 18-year-old kid, let's be real. You don't have much experience.
Oh, so now she's a kid instead of a girl. Okay, we're better with kids.
Well, she's 18. I mean, you're a child. You've been driver's license for 2 years. So my question was, is her dad going to be culpable in this? Did he let her take the car? Or did she take the car without permission? I mean, $140,000 Corvette Z06, that's not just a general car that most 18-year-old girls have access to.
You know, it's funny. A few years ago, and my condolences to the family, by the way. I'm not joking around about that. This is serious. But a couple of years ago, I remember they let me drive one of those new C8s. And Savannah was with me. You know, I think she was 16 or 17 at the time, my youngest daughter, and she wanted to drive it. And I looked at it, and I kind of shook my head and said, really? And I said, okay, you can drive it at 50 miles an hour. And I did. I let her drive it at 50 miles an hour. I was in the right side seat, you know, like quivering. I didn't know what she would do. Because when you put somebody in the seat of a car like that and you don't know what they're going to do, you would be hanging on for dear life. I've had several Corvettes. And I remember I have a friend of mine. He completely drives reckless. I've known him for many years. And I bought one. In fact, it was a Callaway. Nice car. Fast. It was 757 horsepower. Corvette. Yeah. Uncontrollable when you punch it. You had to be really careful with it. And so my buddy wanted to drive it. And so I gave him the keys. I very rarely do that. I've known the guy for a long, long time. He was the best man at my wedding. And he goes, well, are you going with me? I looked at him. I said, absolutely not.
Car's insured.
I said, because he drives rough. And yeah. I said, I am not going to let you know jump in this car with you. So be very, very, very careful if you let an 18-year-old or someone like this borrow one of your vehicles. And be very, very careful to make sure you tell them that this is not a joke. And when you go around somebody at a high rate of speed on the interstate like this, you startle them very badly. And, again, my condolences to the family. So be very, very careful with this stuff. But in most cases, you probably don't need to be handing keys to an 18-year-old to high-performance.
No, in general, yeah.
And plus, it's just it's sad to me this has actually happened. But she's fixing to find out what the world is all about now at 18 being charged.
She's going to try as an adult with this, whatever.
So it's going to be interesting.
Well, the thing is, too, I was reading on it. They said the black box pulled up. She's doing 155 miles an hour. The thing about these newer cars, man, a lot of people don't realize, if they want to dig into the speed you're running, it's not hard to do. That's one thing about them, is if they start digging into these black boxes and all the aspects with OnStar and everything, they know exactly how fast you're running, what you're doing, and where you're going.
And I will say something about the Corvettes. And, in fact, this is some of the research, some of the articles I read on them. They get real light at about 150 miles an hour. That Chevy hasn't figured out how to get that thing to stay on the ground
proper
like
they need
to. And I've read that it oversteers real bad. So it's not a good handling car. It's not like you're driving a 911 Turbo Porsche or something. This car is basically a new design car that really hasn't been dialed in yet.
It's a first mid-engine Corvette.
It's a beautiful car. I love the car, but it's just and I've driven it before, but it handles awful.
Chevrolet will dial it in though. They need some more years of R&D to really dial that car in.
Let's talk to Porsche.
Yeah, everybody has to talk to them.
Everybody has to. Never mind. I'll stop on this. But what's your next story, Austin?
Also, too, other news. This is interesting. I saw another article that just popped up now, and it's discussing exactly what I just mentioned earlier. The article just came out here 2 days ago, and it says curcumin, which is in turmeric, supplementation may impart cognitive benefits and decrease chances of Alzheimer's. This is pretty interesting. They said curcumin, the bioactive ingredient in turmeric, which is what exactly we have in this 200 milligrams of turmeric with curcumin, it says it has over 160 potentially therapeutic activities, including anti-inflammatory, neuroprotective, and anti-cancer benefits. That's what they're saying in this research study. They said the research suggests that curcumin may have long-term effects on your cognitive function by protecting against brain inflammation and by boosting mood and preventing depression. It's pretty cool. And it says, compared to the control group, patients who took just 90 milligrams of curcumin, which, by the way, one serving of GHI Cleanse has 200 milligrams in it. That's how much we dose everything. If you guys know why our products work, because we use the top-tier ingredients that are as clean as it gets, assay-tested for heavy metals, and then we make sure the dose is truly clinically relevant. So when you start double-stacking this product, and you start taking 2, 3, 4, 5 scoops a day, you really get some serious effects. And they said patients who took just 90 milligrams of curcumin for 18 months experienced a 28% improvement in memory. Brain scans also showed they had less brain plaques associated with Alzheimer's disease. The researchers also suggested that curcumin may offer potent protection against cancer. Has been shown to enhance conventional cancer treatments such as chemotherapy. Again, this is what the researchers are saying in the study, not me. They said consumed alone, in its raw form, because I get people asking this a lot. They said, well, can I just buy turmeric at the store and just chop it up and throw it in my food? I said, well, if you're looking at it from a spice, you know, from a standpoint of cooking, that's just fine. From an aspect of actually getting the raw nutrients and getting curcumin out of it, the bioavailability of it is very poor. I mean, there's not many health properties of cooking curcumin and putting it in food. I mean, it's not going to hurt you. It's not bad, but you're not going to get the actual effects from it. And they said the formula methods have to be used to improve absorption. And essentially, you've got to have these critical extracts so the body can actually absorb it immediately and really utilize it. So again, that's another reason why the turmeric is such an important product. We carry it in raw form, the supercritical extract on the website, just straight turmeric. And then we also have the GHI cleanse, which has everything in the kitchen thrown into it, which massively helps out with inflammation and decreases problems as far as with the gut. This is one product that I have seen where I've had people that have had a lot of gut inflammation issues as far as with irritable bowel syndrome, colitis, and all kinds of other things. When they've cut back, this is the key factor, they cut back on the glyphosate-induced foods, the breads, the pastas, the wheats that they know have Roundup in them. They cut that out of their diet, especially to the processed dairy. Now, again, raw, organic, certified cow's milk or goat's milk, if you have a farm that's certified for that and it's raw, we've seen really no issues with dairy. The problem is dairy in its processed form, like the ultra-pasteurized I talked about on the show a couple weeks ago, and I've read the whole detail of what they're doing that. Now, they run up to like 260 degrees. They run across 260-degree stainless steel plates. It's completely denatured. All the enzymes are dead in the milk. There is no factor of it that even is really absorbable or nutritional anymore. It's considered at that point a processed food. That's what it's labeled as when it's ultra-pasteurized. And then you have all these people that are having issues with gut problems and gut inflammation. And so it's because you're eating food that's fully denatured. It's not designed to be processed like that. And so when you cut those type of foods out of your diet, and then you throw in a product like GHI Cleanse, which really comes in and decreases the inflammation of the body and helps detoxify the body, you start having a lot less issues with the gut. You start having better digestion, which means you're going to be able to build more muscle. You're going to be able to recover faster. You're going to have better mental acuity. Because remember, we also have what's called the gut-brain connection. With what happens in your gut and the digestive system and the probiotics, all that's connected to your brain. And we've seen now that it's directly linked to your mood as well. That's why the probiotics are such an important product to keep in your diet on a regular basis. So when you get your gut under control, you get your diet under control, you get your food under control, and you get the inflammation under control, your body can really absorb the proper nutrients it needs, which again, helps out with the brain. And that's exactly what they were talking about here in this research study, how the curcumin actually showed massive improvement in memory, and brain scans showed they had less plaque buildup, brain plaque, associated with Alzheimer's disease when the patients just took 90 milligrams of curcumin every day. That's 90 milligrams. That's it. Ours has 200 milligrams for one serving, and I've seen people go anywhere from 2 to 3 servings per day on this product with zero side effects and only positive effects that they get from it. So I want to cover that research study that just came out on curcumin and turmeric, Deb.
Well, you know, turmeric, studies that I've read also said it's like throwing a wet blanket on cancer.
I've heard that too.
I'll repeat that. Like throwing a wet blanket on cancer cells. I use this every day.
Oh, so do I every morning.
You know, every time Van and I work out in the afternoon, we always take GHI Cleanse. Well, I put 4 scoops in there, 2 scoops for each of us, and it tastes pretty good. It really does.
It's not bad. The vanilla tastes pretty good. You can mix it with anything. We also have it in chocolate form
as well. They're both good. This is not a, you know, this is not a, you know, smoothie.
Milkshake from the old Steak and Shake days.
But it tastes, I'm used to the taste now. And you can always throw a little stevia in there if you'd like to, but it's a really good product. GHI, G stands for gastrointestinal, for inflammation for the gut. H is for hepatic, for the liver. And I is for inflammation. So it's specifically designed for the gut, for the liver, and for inflammation in the body. It's probably one of our top 5 best products.
Oh, it is, 100%. As far as overall effects of what it does to the body,
100%. And go to the website, go to healthmasters.com, and look at the label.
Yeah.
You will flip out. It literally has the kitchen sink in it, metaphorically. But it's a phenomenal product, and that's why I take it every day. And you think, well, gosh, that seems expensive, okay, compared to what? Having inflammation in your gastric system and your liver inflamed, having inflammation. I love this stuff, and it's a good product. I really, really like it. In fact, I had run out, and this is empty. That one's full, and so I told Austin, I said, I'll be taking that one today.
Hey, this one was mine.
but it's good. Oh, by the way, I got to correct that last story. She did hit the motorcycle, Austin.
Oh, she did.
She did. Yeah, on the night of the crash, Arizona authorities said that Berg rear-ended Clark's motorcycle, but very little damage to it, though. On the highway, after reaching the breakneck speed of 155 miles an hour, then she slammed on her brakes, which are very good on the Corvette, and she impacted him about 87 miles per hour.
That's still a heavy hit, dude.
Yeah, but you know, here's the thing, I'm not being an advocate for her whatsoever, because I think this was crazy what she did. But you know, if they're not saying that she was drinking, they're not saying that, and they're saying that she hit him at 87 miles an hour, which on a 70 mile an hour interstate, that's speeding, but it's not over the top. She's a lousy driver, obviously. So I don't know what they're going to do with her. I mean, because I know if alcohol would have been involved, she'd have been charged with vehicle homicide. So this is a terrible, terrible strategic accident.
Well, that's what's hard for the family. He had kids and everything else.
And again, who bought her this car?
I mean, that's their dad here, the keys to it.
They live in a relatively modest town. Out of town? Arizona. I mean, so what is up with that? How'd she get insurance on it, by the way, at 18? Just thought I'd ask.
I highly doubt that was her car. Had to be.
But let me tell you something though. And I mentioned this earlier. I'm going to say it again. Be very, very careful on who you get in cars with. It's especially when you have a car that holds a lot of people, because if you put kids in there, have a big party while they're driving. I remember years ago, I was blessed to go to Germany, got to fly with her on points and stay in hotels on points. It was fun. And we had a car while we were there, and we were driving it on the interstate, and I had a friend on the Autobahn, and I had a friend of mine want to drive it. He came over there with us, and he got in the car, got in the left-hand lane, took the car up to 130 miles an hour on the Autobahn, which is legal, all right? And then when he got to 130 miles an hour, he stomped the brake. I'm not joking. He stomped the brake in the high-speed lane. And I looked at him. I said, what are you doing? And he goes, well, I don't want to go that fast. And I said, then get back over in the middle lane and slow down. You can have cars coming up behind you at 200 miles an hour. You're stomping the brake here. I said, you're going to get us all killed. So I told him, I said, pull the car over, because I was renting the car. It was in my name. And so he got over. And I said, let's swap back to drivers again. You've got to drive the car now. We're done. And I did. I didn't let him drive again after that. Be very, very careful. In fact, this same guy took me for a ride in a Tesla. I couldn't believe I got in there with him again. And he stomped on the brake in the Tesla. So you know, this is years later. But be careful on who you ride with, because some people can't drive. I'm just being honest with you. They really can't drive. And I had another friend of mine. I remember he was in high school, and I used to ride around with him. And finally, I noticed it's just he's reckless. And sure enough, he ended up killing a kid who was riding in the front seat with him, and he lost control of the vehicle. He had been drinking, ended up going to prison for 3 years, and he was an attorney. But he was one of the worst drivers I've ever met. There's two other guys that I rode with one time that I'll never ride with again. Be careful on who you get in a car with. I can't say that. I mean, I remember, you know, back in high school, there were three or four kids in a car. They jumped in a guy's car with them, and two of the kids in the back seat got killed because he lost the car on a curve. So it's one of those things. We all have those stories of people that we know, so be very, very careful. But I'm not saying this lady shouldn't be charged, this girl shouldn't be charged. I'm not saying any of that. I'm just wondering how they're going to prosecute her at 87 miles an hour. One other thing while I'm mentioning this, they knew exactly how fast she was going at the time. They knew she hit her brakes, and they knew she impacted the guy at 87 miles an hour. That's how much recording is being done.
Oh, yeah. And that's not an electric car. That's just a Corvette.
That's just a Corvette. So you know, I know my insurance company a few years ago said, we'd like to have you so ahead and start getting tracked now on all your vehicles.
Oh, yeah. They said the same thing to me.
And I said, all my vehicles? Like, okay. I said, the answer is no.
Yeah.
The answer is a hard car. No. I said, well, we'd like to just put a tracker in there for you so we can give you better
insurance. We can give you better rates.
I'm like, no, you don't. No, you won't. No, I'm not. I don't.
We're going to monitor your driving.
But think about it for a second, Austin. All these cars, they know exactly how fast she got up to. They know she hit her brakes. They know she was at 87 miles an hour when she impacted the back of the motorcycle. But I can say this. The motorcycle doesn't look like it was damaged very much, but he lost balance.
Well, in 87 miles an hour, body hitting asphalt, soft tissue doesn't hold up real well.
Well, he hit the concrete barrier, as they said, on the wall. And again, my condolences to the family. But the reality is that Harley's handled like garbage anyhow. Don't fuss at me, because I've owned two of them. I don't want to hear it, okay?
Gosh, you're going to get some emails on that one.
No, they're the most beautiful motorcycles made. They got the best sound out there if you change the pipes. And they look awesome sitting in a parking lot when you rev them up. Okay, I got that. But they handle like crap. You know, if you really want a good handling motorcycle, get yourself a 1600 GTL BMW, if they still make those. That's a motorcycle. 10-second quarter mile, handles great. You lay it into the corners. But I would never drive like that.
1,000 RRs are always.
I will never drive like that again. Okay, but I've owned a lot of motorcycles, but the Harley's handled very, very badly. But I don't think any motorcycle could take it 87 mile an hour. But the guy was probably doing 17. He's probably doing 70 miles an hour, yeah. Maybe 75. So she probably
it's almost a 20 mile an hour gap from the rear end. That's hard to you're not going to control.
It's going
to
push you.
You're going to
push you over. All right, what's your
name? Yeah, well, that's what's rough, and that's why I warn everybody all the time. I give people heads up because I've always been a huge motorhead. I love motorcycles. Down here in Florida. Florida's not the place to ride motorcycles.
Used
anymore.
To be, not anymore.
It used to be, man. This place I grew up, I loved it. It was great. You could get from here to Daytona in a quick period of time if you're riding a sport bike.
1,000cc BMW.
Yeah, you know, CBRs, I love those, 1,000RRs. And, but, you know, I watched a lot of friends die. You know, I had a buddy of mine locally. He was running about 130, and a Bronco pulled out in front of him. And, you know, he
was, cut him in half.
Yeah, it was bad. It was a very, very bad accident. It was rough to see that. You know, I was like 18 when it happened. And that was it. It was done. I mean, it was over with that fast. And the problem is you don't realize is when you're running that fast, your reflexes, especially when you're pretty young and you're used to racing your whole life, you can run pretty fast. You can't predict what everybody else is going to
That's
do
right.
on the road all the time. And especially you start getting on the interstates, you get on these 3- and 4-lane interstates, you know, on one side, you have all these cross-section variables. So when you're on a rocket, you're on a sport bike, and you're going in and out of traffic, even if you're only doing 10 or 20 over and you're going in and out, you can't determine at all periods of time what every single person is going to do. And that's what the factors come in. And then the issue you run into is if you're running 2 or 3 behind, the guys in front may be running through or splitting cars. Well, now you're coming up behind them after everybody else in the other vehicles are already very, very nervous and very, very startled by these rockets passing them at a high rate of speed. And they'll come over on top of you. I've watched it happen. I've had it happen to me. I've almost been killed multiple times on motorcycles. And that's why I finally sold all of them, unfortunately. And so if you're coming down to Florida, if you like Bike Week, you're coming down here to ride, by all means, it is a motorcycle state. I always recommend everybody trailer your bikes down here until you get to areas where you can have more rural riding. You actually can enjoy the back roads and stay off the highways and interstates because it's like every single day there's another fatality on the interstates around here with cars and motorcycles alike. It's just not the place it used to be down here in Florida, and it's rough.
I had a friend of mine who's a medical doctor at Chance Teaching Hospital up in Gainesville, and she told me that basically they use I-75 motorcycle accidents for organ transplants.
Yeah,
because there's so many of them, and it happens all the time. They're waiting for someone to get hit on a motorcycle. And I remember one time I was sitting in the garage, and I looked over, and there's my Corvette. All right, yeah, I love Corvettes. I don't own one now, and there's my motorcycle. And I thought, which one should I rather drive? And I thought Corvette. It's that much safer. And see, and so you know, I mean, I haven't owned a bike for years. If you have a motorcycle. Do yourself a favor and wear a helmet. I mean, I don't. I know they're hot. Okay, I got that, and I know they're miserable to wear, and I know they obstruct some of the vision. But you know, your brain really
needs it does. Yeah. The first time if you're ever on a motorcycle, if you do ever wreck, and you look at what happens to your helmet when you hit the asphalt at 40 or 50 miles an hour, and you look at the rash and the cracking, and then you think that helmet and all that fiberglass and that carbon fiber, what it did to just save my face and my head. Think about what your actual tissue would have done when it hit the asphalt at that speed. And I mean, I've seen some very, very nasty wrecks without helmets before. And in most cases, people die from the brain trauma.
Well, the Shoei helmet with the carbon fiber Shoei.
Shoeis are great. Shoeis
are, that's oh, a good. That's,
air
that's
eyes
a
are great.
Helmet.
Yeah.
And I still got my helmet. I love the helmet. By the way, this is a interesting article. Mystery as Iowa becomes America's cancer capital. Officials fear farming chemicals and alcohol abuse is to blame. I can tell you the primary cause of this as far as cancer in Iowa is glyphosate.
I was just about to say probably Roundup.
Roundup's been linked to over 22 different cancers. I mean, the lawsuits are going to go on forever with Roundup. And, you know, again, all crops, all non-organic crops of corn, you know, and soybeans, a week before they're harvested, they're sprayed by air with Roundup as a desiccant to dry them up. It increases crop yield. It gives you probably a 20% more, you know, crop yield as far as per acre. I'm estimating that. I'm not sure of that number. But the crazy part about it is that all that glyphosate that is in the air, you're breathing it, number one. It's drifting, number two. It's not going to stay where you drop it on air, especially if it's windy. And number three, it's going to be in the food you eat. And so these guys get exposed to this stuff all the time. And I'm not even talking about pesticides and other herbicides. I'm talking about just glyphosate in the thousands of metric tons of the stuff that's used every single year. This stuff is really poisonous. And be very, very careful with it. If you absolutely have to use it, which try not to, try to use salt instead. It does a great job. But just make sure you don't get it on your system and don't allow yourself to be poisoned in it. Because remember, your skin is a semi-permeable membrane. You can take a clove of garlic and you can cut it in half and rub it on the bottom of your feet, and you'll taste it in your mouth in about 30 minutes. You have to kind of be careful what you step in, right? So be very careful with this stuff as far as getting on your skin. And if you do get on your skin, wash yourself immediately. Try to wear gloves. Try to wear long sleeves, long pants. Be very, very careful if you use it. I recommend salt instead, but not everybody's going to listen to me on that. But that's why I believe Iowa has become America's cancer capital because of all of the pesticides and herbicides, specifically Roundup, that they use on the crops. Oz, what do you think?
Glyphosate is horrific. And the research is out there, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, all types of different cancer. This isn't a conspiracy theory anymore. This isn't something. This has been around now.
It specifically stops nutrient absorption in plants.
Correct.
And when it gets into your gut, it does exactly the same thing.
It stops nutrient
absorption in your gut, too. So also now you see all these mineral and vitamin deficiencies because your body can't. And that's one of the reasons.
Then what happens, then the body starts having massive inflammation to try to reduce what's going on with his
head. Was this the perfect segue?
It was a perfect segue. Glyphosate, once you understand how bad Roundup is, you try not to touch it for any reason whatsoever, especially in the food supply. And that's why I always recommend people do the best they can to try to eat organic. I know it can be expensive sometimes, but staying away from that GMO food where you know for a fact when it blatantly says on it, this product has genetically modified organisms in it.
I used to use glyphosate, Basagran, Azulox, all of this different stuff to keep my St. Augustine yard perfect. No, man, the weeds won. Who cares? Just let it. I don't even care anymore. Just
on a long enough timeline, they always win.
Weeds. And my dad told me this. He's a farmer. He goes, the only reason we call them a weed is because we don't want them there.
They're right.
He says, in actuality, they're a plant.
Photosynthesis. They're all doing the same thing. Also, too, in other news, this is interesting as well. Very quietly, and this is ironic now, over the last couple days, we've seen all these crazy events happen. Well, on March 23rd, the Department of Justice quietly announced that it has now launched the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. So in the last bill, the spending bill, there was a $750 million earmark that was designed to go directly to the Department of Justice to invest the $750 million to essentially implement red flag gun laws. This is really serious. You guys need to listen to what I'm about to tell you right now. The Biden administration, the Department of Justice, set up now, and they're working on implementing it, a national center to provide training and technical assistance to help police, prosecutors, judge, and others implement red flag gun laws more effectively, which is taking guns away from Americans who pose a threat to themselves or others.
Pushed by Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, this is a whole other level on though. This is the Department of Justice that actually got almost $1 billion extra just to start this program now last year. It's called the National Extreme Risk Protection Order Resource Center. So essentially, if you guys know this, I've talked about it before, the red flag gun laws that had been in place, they started to go in place under Obama, and they've just continually grown into this behemoth of a nightmare. It essentially allows anyone such as police, law enforcement, family members, medical professionals, neighbors, bring a claim to an emergency court alleging that a person is mentally unwell or a danger to themselves or others. If the court accepts the claim, the individual is flagged, prevents them from buying any firearms, and then allows the police to seize all of their firearms and ammunition. And at the point of seizure, they are notified that they are now barred from owning, possessing, or using any type of firearm while the flag is under order. Meaning, if they take all your guns and you go to the back shed and you still got your Mossberg 12-gauge and you throw it back in your truck and then you get pulled over that said Mossberg, you are now charged with felony possession of a firearm. Now, understand you with this. There is no trial as far as with a jury. You don't even get to come about and present your case when they first implement this. You're not even notified about it happening until they're there to take your firearms and they let you know that a red flag protection order has now been issued against you and they're there to take your firearms. And you go, what are you talking about? Oh, well, we've determined under court of law, basically on such and such's claim that you are deemed unsafe to own a firearm, we are here to take all your firearms and ammunition now. But I'm perfectly sane. What the heck are you talking about? Well, it's fine. You can get them back. You just now have to come to court and prove that you're mentally stable enough to own all these said firearms. This is by far, and I've said this before, the red flag gun laws are by far the biggest violation of the Second Amendment that we have probably ever witnessed in U.S. history, other than the ATF instituting the NFA Act from 1934. That was another really, really crazy one, especially when it rolled into the 1986 Firearm Protection Act that prevented law-abiding citizens from purchasing newly manufactured machine guns. That's a whole other topic. And along with the bump fire stock. So all these things tie in together. And so the red flag gun laws have kind of been the cherry on top of the cake in order to allow law enforcement to start seizing firearms from anybody that they deem fit. Now, I'm going to say this. There are some people that they're so mentally unstable, they probably don't need to have firearms. If somebody's running around their front yard naked with a shotgun threatening to shoot all their neighbors, they probably don't need to be running around with a firearm at the time. They're just mentally unstable, and they need to basically go chill out in a padded room for a while until they can get their head back on straight. So leave it at that. However, as we have seen, there have been thousands, if not tens of thousands, of these red flag gun laws implemented and utilized against law-abiding citizens all across the country. Now, with many of them, they go untalked about. There's no media coverage. Nobody even brings it up. And you find out later on, there's an incident that happened about three or four years ago where the family member called in on, it was like her like brother-in-law, and he was like an older gentleman, like 60 years old. They got a red flag gun protection order issued against him. They show up at his house. Whatever happened, there's a struggle that ensues with law enforcement and this guy because he's like, dude, I'm perfectly fine. I don't care if my sister-in-law told you guys I'm crazy because she doesn't like my political beliefs. I'm not giving you my firearms. Well, they end up getting in a gunfight, and they killed a man, and he died over nothing. Never even got to go to trial. Never even got to defend himself. And so now what's happening is now Merrick Garland has announced this red flag operation that the DOJ will be running and using essentially spy tools by the U.S. government in order to determine who's criminal and who's involved in some type of nefarious or mentally unstable act in order to implement these red flag gun laws. This is what I'm going to say to this. Not only is this grossly unconstitutional and illegal, by all means, this needs to be stopped immediately. And I hope some individuals in our government that actually are there by the people, for the people to represent us, are going to get involved in this. Because I did not know about this until early this morning. It just went into place on the 23rd. They just quietly rolled it out. It is very important, and I say this very sincerely, don't be boastfully bragging about your firearm collection to random people.
That's exactly right.
I'm saying it's really clear. If you have family members that are anti-gun, they're liberal, they're idiots, they're morons, whatever you want to call them, they kind of fall in the same category. Don't be ranting about the new rifle you just purchased and the new 100-round drum you just bought for your AR, if you bought one. I'm just saying, hypothetically. Don't be running around on social media bragging about all the new firearms that you bought and showing yourself handling them and running around with them and doing stuff with them unless you really know who's watching your platform or you're using it for a business tool and you have an FFL and all types of business things that you're using it for. Be very cautious of this because there's already been numerous instances now where people in photos showing their face blatantly holding weapons, making comments on Facebook, and suddenly they get a red flag gun order issued by somebody that follows them that doesn't like what they post. So be very cautious about showing your face and your firearms on your platform blatantly to the general population that may not like you or people that may follow you or in general just in aspects of it. Same concept if you got backup food supply. Don't be running around telling everybody in your town that you have backup food. Don't be bragging about it on social media that you just bought a bunch of brand new organic food buckets from Health Masters. Just being honest with you. If you buy them, buy them. They're for you and your family. Keep them as such for your family. Be very cautious now because social media has become a double-edged sword. There's a lot of good stuff on it. There's a lot of platforms like stuff with Team_HealthMasters with the Instagram. They're getting a lot of people involved and commenting and building a whole community. But there's also a whole other section of social media that's being used as an algorithmic tool to determine who may be a threat, who may not be a threat, who may be some of the future threat, or what you do, where you go. Like before, I've joked about it before. There's been instances where we've heard about robberies because somebody goes and posts on Facebook, look at my new 80-inch TV I just bought for Christmas. Oh, by the way, I'm going to North Carolina with my family. Here's my trip. On my trip, I'm gone out of town. Everybody look at me on my trip. And they come home and their house is robbed. And you kind of go, were you that stupid? Really? Like, you let everybody know on social media that you were out of town after you bragged about all the stuff you just bought at your house? I've always told people on social media, always have delayed aspects of what you're posting. If you're at a certain location and you're getting footage for something on social media, that's great. That's grand. That's wonderful. Post it later on the next day when you're back home or you're somewhere else or you're on another trip. Do not give people the luxury of knowing your exact location where you're moving stuff around, whether it be for business or not, unless it is a specific social media platform. You're a YouTuber that you're posting stuff, I guess, on that aspect. But in general, my opinion, don't put that information out there of exact locations, exact times. Always have delayed posts. That's very, very important in my opinion. Law enforcement has even told me that. A lot of guys from law enforcement told me that a lot.
Think about January the 6th.
Yeah, gosh.
We're going to be in D.C. on January the 6th.
Yeah.
You know, in fact, you and I were supposed to be January the 6th, and we changed it. And all of a sudden now, if they're looking for you, they're going to try to do facial recognition.
They already know you're there.
You know, it's funny. Every time I go to, there's a place called Disney Village. Me too. You know, I was escorted out. Oh, yeah, I know. Every time I go there, every single time, via either gait recognition or facial recognition, when I walk in, they're going to wand me down every single time. And I'm kind of like, okay, so I come in here, with a baseball hat on, I got glasses on, I'm wearing a
fake
huge
beard.
Jacket. It doesn't make any difference. They get me on gait rate. It doesn't matter what I'm wearing. I can walk behind a 6'8" tall person, and huddle behind them.
There's Brower.
There he is. Flag him out, push him over. They're going to find you. And if you're in D.C. with all the cameras up there, they're going to find you. And that's why I'm so glad I didn't go up there, because once you get to the point where they're trying to find you, they want to know who you are, they're tracking you, it's easy to do. But every single time I go, and I've ever got a friend with me, I'm like, by the way, I'm going to get searched. You don't know that. Yes, I do. I could walk in a Speedo, which, by the way, I would not do. Maybe when I was 20, but not now. and I'm still gonna get searched. They're gonna say, okay, gotta wind you down. And so you sit there and you go, this is crazy, but it's every single time. So be aware of that. So why in the world do you want to broadcast where you're going to be? By the way, Donald Trump is talking about being Jesus again. And I gotta just cover this stuff up. Donald Trump compares himself to Christ in a bizarre post from Inside Hush Money Court. Former Donald Trump posted an extract of the Bible on social media comparing himself to Jesus Christ, who walked through his greatest persecution this week. And I'm not going to make any more comments on that, because that kind of aggravates me. Because quite frankly, until you get ready to get put on a cross and take on the full sins of the world, don't compare yourself to Christ.
No.
And then Ben Whitehead wrote an article that I want to tie it together with a segue. Throughout history, individuals or groups of individuals have risen to the challenge of the injustices of their age. Nazi Germany had Dietrich Bonhoeffer. The gulags of the Soviet Union were challenged by Alexander Solzhenitsyn. America had a color-coded system of racial segregation and warmongering called out for what it was by Martin Luther King. And then there was Jesus Christ, who basically was the Son of God, was God, created the heavens and the earth, I'm adding this, who was basically stood against the Roman Empire. He basically gave us a blueprint for civil disobedience. And what did they do? They put him to death on a cross. And, of course, he was resurrected because they had no idea he was the Son of God. And he created the heavens and the earth. A radical nonconformist who challenged authority at every turn. Jesus was a far cry from the watered-down, corporatized, simplified, generified, sissified version of a meek creature holding a lamb that most modern churches peddle. I actually like the way he wrote that, by the way. In fact, he spent his adult life speaking truth to power, challenging the status quo of his day, and pushing back against the abuses of the Roman Empire. Much like the American Empire today, the Roman Empire of Jesus' day had all of the characteristics of a police state: secrecy, surveillance, widespread police presence, a citizenry treated like suspects with little recourse against the police state, perpetual wars, a military empire, martial law, and political retribution against those who dared to challenge the power of the state. For all the accolades poured upon Jesus, little is said about the harsh realities of the police state in which he lived and the similarities to modern-day America, and yet they are striking. I'm not going to read any more of this. It's a long article. I'll have it posted to you. But I want to say something to you very quickly. This is important that you understand this as a Christian. When Jesus Christ came and he died for you on the cross, and he was resurrected by God Almighty, the same power that resurrected him from the dead dwells in you as a Christian. That's the kind of authority and power that you have when you pray, when you create scalar energy fields that change the fabric of space-time. You might want to listen to that a couple of times if you haven't heard the show before, because that's going to be a lot of stuff to say in one sentence. Secondly, remember, he's like a transformer. If God is a 1.5 billion gigawatts or whatever, or inimaginable the power that God has, that his being is so powerful that his presence permeates space-time, past, present, and future. Think about that. He's omnipresent. That's the power, you know, just gazillions of watts, unfathomable, uncalculable. Here's what's interesting about this. That's what raised Jesus from the dead, was the power of God Almighty. Here's the interesting part about that. If the same power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, what are you capable of doing? Jesus is like a transformer that allows us to get back into God's energy field, who is God Almighty, become one with God again. When you accept Christ, he's like that transformer that takes your little 1 watt to the gazillion gigawatts, and you're able to do all kinds of things for God and through Christ. Think about that. Jesus did not have to die on the cross. He chose to do that. He could have come off the cross. He never had to go to the cross. When they came to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane, the guys, when they walked up to him, his pure power made them fall down. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know how to arrest him. When you walk up to somebody to arrest them and everybody with you falls down on the ground and they starts writhing or whatever happened, I wasn't there, you got to think, maybe I don't want to do this. Maybe this is not that guy to go arrest. And at that point, he could have called down 50,000 angels. He said that. But he allowed them to arrest him. It's kind of like that one Superman movie. I think it was kind of funny. When he's sitting there and they put Superman in handcuffs. And finally, he just walks up to him, pulls his hands apart like the handcuffs are meaningless. That's the kind of power, plus times a gazillion more, that God actually has. And so when you have a covenant with God and you're in a blood covenant through Jesus, it's unimaginable what he's done for you, bringing you back into his presence like he did through Christ. Think about that when you accept Christ. And that's why you've got to pray. That's why I pray for you guys all the time. The power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So you put on the full armor of God. So when he's talking about what Jesus went through in this article, Whitehead, this is an excellent article by Whitehead. When he talks about that, remember that same power is in you all the time, whether you get up in the morning with breakfast, and it doesn't make any difference. If something happens to you that day that you don't like, how do you know that wasn't God redirecting your course, preventing something horrible from happening to you an hour later? Just ask him. Car won't start, okay? Find out later there's a massive accident on I-4, I-75, or wherever you live that you would have been in had the car started when it did. Always remember, God orchestrates our plan. Our footsteps are ordered by the Lord if we follow him all the days of our life. So don't get upset if it's raining. Don't get upset if the car doesn't start. Just kind of shake it off and go, oh, well, life goes on, and have a positive attitude. Because remember, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it every single day of my life. Not to say that bad things don't happen, because bad things do happen to good people a lot of the times. But remember, it's how you handle those bad things. Look at them as challenges for the rest of your life, all the days of your life. Always remember that. Also, what do you think?
Exactly right. You know, as you get, especially in business, I've learned a long time ago, and we've always talked about this, you always have ups and downs. It's just part of life. You can try to pretend like it's not real, but it's very real, and you have highs, you have lows, you have things that are great sometimes. Sometimes you have things that are really bad. And it's how you handle them and how you adapt to them and how you overcome them makes a big difference, because sometimes stuff is more effective than others. Sometimes stuff messes with you more than others. And you got to decide whether or not you want to continue to do the same thing that you've been doing, or you decide, you know what, it's probably not working anymore. So instead of trying to fix something that's no longer being able to be fixed, you take a step back and you redo it, or you try something different and you go a different direction. These things happen on a regular basis in our lives, and some of them, like I said, bigger than others. And biggest thing is looking at them, evaluating them, analyzing them, and handling them as best as possible, and calculating them from a cost-benefit scenario a lot of times. Great way to look at it. Also, to another news, another research that came out talking about turmeric actually helping burn body fat. And I did not know this. It's actually new to me. It said researchers at Tufts University in Boston discovered that curcumin, the active ingredient in turmeric, reduced weight gain and total body fat in mice that consumed the compound. 18 mice divided into 3 groups were either fed a low-fat, high-fat, or curcumin diet. At the end of the study, a curcumin-enhanced high-fat diet. So they still ate a lot of calories. At the end of the study, body weight of the mice and fat distribution were measured. For those that ingested a diet with curcumin, both total body fat and weight gain were reduced, even though food intake actually increased and was not restricted. Blood glucose, cholesterol, fatty acid, triglycerides, and liver fat were all lower as well, even more so than the low-fat diet by itself. So they found even allowing unrestricted high-fat diet with turmeric in this group with these rats, they found that the rats with the group that ate the most fat that had turmeric still had the best levels with cholesterol, blood glucose, and body fat levels, which I find really, really ironic at some point. Not that I'm saying you could just eat whatever you want, take turmeric, and it'd be great, but what I'm saying is that's how effective that compound is and what it does in diminishing fat, helping with blood sugar, because that's another issue too, how it affects it. Curcumin really helps regulate blood glucose and maintain blood sugar levels. That's one of the reasons why I always recommend it as far as when you're doing a fast, because it'll really maintain blood sugar. Now, if you really want to burn body fat, you run the body fat stack and the fat burning stack that I have with the Cholesterol X. The cinnamon extract and the berberine. Those two I have them on a kit on the website. You stack that with the GHI cleanse with a reduced calorie intake. Oh, man. You start training hard, you'll be shocked. And also, too, any other news, too. Yesterday I told you guys I was working. I put together that kit because I had a few people ask me about it on the effects of ashwagandha. Because I told you ashwagandha is incredibly good with stress, anxiety, helps improve sleep. They also showed that essentially in the research studies that it helped out with stress, anxiety, fatigue, and general well-being. The treatment group that essentially used ashwagandha for 8 weeks had a much lower stress level and substantial drop in blood cortisol. I talked in detail. You can listen about yesterday. I put together the two together that is basically an ultimate support kit to help out with stress and anxiety. I put it on the front page. And it's very simplistic. It's the pure ashwagandha and the cortisol buster. And take both of those together. Give me some feedback on it. They're on sale for over like 10% off on the website. So, I mean, it's like a $70 kit. Last you a month. And quite frankly, that's really cheap for the quality ashwagandha that I have. You can do some research on the ingredients that are both in those products. So be sure to check those out. Give us some feedback. Same thing with the GHI cleanse. Give us feedback. Give us some comments. Give us some reviews on the website or more on Health Masters or team_Health Masters at Instagram. Really like that on there. And you give us feedback on these products. We'll throw you a coupon code. Really want to get everybody's insight and how these products work because a lot of these times, people give me emails on a regular basis, but when you put it on a social media platform and people can see the reviews and can see the comments, it makes it even better for other people that want to get stronger, want to get healthier, that want to feel better, and they can actually see what everybody else is saying. So be sure to check that out at healthmasters.com on the website, and be sure to follow us on Instagram at team_healthmasters if you guys need anything at all. Because again, this product on sale, I know we're going to burn through it. I got a decent amount of inventory. I may actually have to order another batch because I go through it. You go through it.
It's going to go pretty quick.
Everybody in town goes through it.
Well, the problem is it's hard to get because of the amount of nutrients that's in it.
It's hard to put together.
It's hard to put together. In fact, when you get a product that tastes this good with this many products in it, kind of like a miracle, honestly, because most stuff tastes
awful. It took years, man.
But again, I'll be using that can right now. I'll be taking it to the house in a moment. So I don't know how much we're going to have left in inventory, but we should have enough to get take care of the orders from the show today. But, yeah, absolutely love you guys. You guys are awesome. And, you know, I want to know, when I get to talk to you about Jesus and I get to talk to you about Christ, it really makes a lot of difference to me from a health standpoint because it allows me to share my faith with you. And that same faith basically helps me to stay healthy too because I believe that God's going to do what he says he's going to do. And he wants to bless you and prosper you and let you walk in divine health all the days of your life, Austin. What do you think?
100%, my friends. Stay strong, stay healthy, keep your mind strong, keep your body strong, continue to exercise and eat clean. Keep your inflammation down. If you need anything, healthmasters.com, the GHI cleanse. On sales product of the week. Oh, I didn't get very close on that one.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't fall over.
Yeah.
I have this open.
But yeah,
everywhere.
The can's gone. Sorry. Go get another one. So thank you, my friends. You guys have a fantastic evening. And email us, call us, team_healthmasters on Instagram if you need anything at all. We're responding pretty fast on there. Been staying on top of it all week to keep updated with everybody on there. So thank you for the support, my friends. You have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.
Yes, and thank you so much for all the feedback you're giving us on the show. A lot of you like the interaction between me and Austin a lot more than just giving out dry news stories. And so do I. The show's more fun to do this way. We bring you more interesting stuff. I love you guys. It's my honor and my privilege to pray for you. God bless you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet, this is the Global Star Radio Network.